Let's just turn to our Bibles once more in this meeting. Let's look to that book of Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to read the first six verses together. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Amen. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer before God. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for all things that has been partaken upon in this meeting already. We thank thee for the songs of Zion. We thank thee, Lord, for the word of God. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless it. We do pray, Lord, that thou would give us help as we partake upon this word. Pray that thou would help these stumbling lips that we, O Lord, would preach, Lord, thy word as thus and thus saith the Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, as we, O Lord, preach and help us as we listen. Lord, may there be listening ears. God, and may, Lord, that thou would be our very helper in all these things. Lord, meet with us as we take upon the preaching of thy word. Help us to gather around it, Lord. Help us to know thy presence as we are seeking to look to thee this morning, we pray. We ask things, these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure there's many of us in this meeting. Well, I'm sure most of us in this meeting have heard of a missionary called Mary Slessor. Mary Slessor was a woman that done a mighty work for God. Of herself, she wasn't. Maybe she, if you look at her on herself, she wasn't anything in her own self. She couldn't have done any things and mighty works of her own self. But in her books and in the things which we learn of Mary Slessor, we find that she was touched many, many hearts. She was a young girl in Scotland, saved at a young age, having had many times with her friends going to speak with her grandmother, being told of the gospel, of being told of the saving grace of God, being told also of a hell that we could shun. And it was one of those days after meeting with her friends and meeting with her grandmother, we find that she went home to her mother and she was seeking after God and she took God's ways and got right before God. And she wanted to do a work for God. She desired then to read the Bible. She was often, every week she was put off the church and the family took her along to church. And I think that's a good thing to be brought to church. I believe it's a good thing. And maybe I'll say it later or maybe tell you tonight why my reason for that is. But she was brought often to church and she wanted to read the Bible. And she desired to know God's word. She desired to have an understanding of the word of God. And then she heard of the call of God. You know that at age of 11, she left home, went to work. Her father was a shoemaker, but having that old dreaded thing of alcohol touched his lips and caught a grip on that family, they got poverty and she was sent to work. She was the only breadwinner of that house. But she desired to do a work for God. If you read the book of Mary Celeste, you'll find it is a book of encouragement. A book where God guides and God meets her every need. Where she steps out in faith for God. Where that she does a work and God blesses that work because she knows that she is in the will of God. And each one of us gathered in this meeting this morning, we need to step out in faith for God. We need to step out of our own circle. We need to step out of our own, as it were, comfort zone. Stepping outside of what we consider to be our own human limits. And doing something and becoming something more for God. Mary Slessor, she left these shores and she went out having having been within her limits, she wanted to go outside them, and she went for God. And if it was not for God's moving up on her life, she would never have reached. And those people, she would never have been the woman that was used to reach those people of Africa, and that were touched in a mighty way. She was a woman of faith, of courage, and therefore we likewise need to be bold for God. We need to be faithful in the work of God. We need to look things, we need to change ourselves. We need to get our hearts Godward, letting God work upon our lives. Let God be a director of our paths. This is what this passage is all about, God being a director of a path. And it is grace and conviction that challenges us to do something for God. And it's grace and conviction that calls us into a work, and it's grace and conviction that sustains us, that will fulfill us in our calling for God. Therefore, this morning, as we gather, as we look at this portion of Scripture, each one of us should cast our own interests to the side. Cast things that we have, we think that is higher than everything else, and cast it over to the side, that we would be truly and fully trusting in the Lord. Therefore, this morning, I think I would like us to consider all these six verses in this chapter 18, these first six chapters. And I want to look at this morning and look at the subject of a mark of a child of God. The mark of a child of God. Maybe you say, well, I don't understand the reading of this portion already. I don't know who it's talking about or what it is. If you look at verse 1 and verse 6, you'll find out who this passage is about. There's no problem any one of us deciding identifying who this person is in the potter. It says the word just came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, verse 6, can it I do with you as this potter saith the Lord? So we come to the conclusion immediately from the beginning of this passage that God is the potter and we are the clay. He's talking here to the people of Israel. They are the clay that is applied to the people of Israel, but it's also an application to you and I. That God wants to work upon our lives. God wants to be that one that is challenging our lives to be something more than we really are. God is the potter and we're just the clay. Marks of a child of God. I have a number of marks this morning. We'll do them as quick as we can. The first mark we have is a child of God wants to hear the word of God. Verse 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. A true child of God wants to be in the house of the Lord. A true child of God wants to listen to God's word being opened. They want to hear God's word being preached. And they have a desire on their hearts to be spoken to by the Lord. And they love to hear the message of God is proclaimed. And Jeremiah, when this portion of Scripture was written, and he in this portion of Scripture, he's known also as, in passage before, he's known as the weeping prophet. He's known as a man who prays for the people, a man who weeps for the people, a man who desires to know the Word of God, a man who desires to hear what God has to say. Jeremiah wasn't a man who held the message to himself. Jeremiah was a man who proclaimed the word of God to the people. Find Jeremiah comes before God. It takes a little time before God. He meets with God and he waits God's directing hand upon his life. And so should you and I. We should take a little time with God. Take a little time to seek God's face. Seek time to look to God. In this passage of Scripture that we have before us here, we find that God desires both you and I to have a close relationship with Him. We see that God wants us to be close with Him. Like as we saw earlier on, Mary Celeste, she had that close relationship. Like Jeremiah had that close relationship with God. Like Jeremiah prayed that the people of Israel would have. He desired that the people of Israel would have a close relationship with God. And we like them. We like each one of them. We need to seek God's face. That we would know what it is to have that close relationship with God. We would know what it is for God to speak to us. You know, in the preceding passages to this portion of Scripture, we find the people of Israel and Judah falling away from God, not serving God, not going after the things of God. They go into captivity. They go into things of many difficulties, and there's many failures upon their life. And there's many failures, if you read in verses in chapter 15, 16, and 17. There's many failures within there. There's many rejections of God. And the people often stand upon their own ways and stand upon their own things. And they've had many failures and many disappointments. And many times we find this servant of God, Jeremiah, coming before God, and he's, as it were, interceding, praying, weeping, seeking God's face, that these people be kept by God. He urges the people here. He says, get your eyes off man. Get your eyes off other things. Get your eyes off manward things. And get your eyes fixed on God. This applies to every one of us, that we must get our eyes fixed upon Christ, who is our eternal Redeemer. You know, we may think that we read these verses and we say, well, here, God wants us to hear His Word. But God can see everything that we do. God can see everything that we do. You think we hide things from God? No, we don't. God sees our failures. God sees the lives that we partake. God sees all the things that we like to do. And God sees all the things. God's seen the children of Israel starting off well. And then they falter. God sees us in the Christian life. We start off well. We want to hear His Word. But we begin to falter. We begin to feel. Do you know what you need this morning? You know what I need this morning? To hear a word from God. We need to hear God speaking to us. We need to hear a word from God. Oftentimes it is when God tells us, you need to hear a word. You need to go and hear a word. Oftentimes we grow cold. Our Christian lives, not what it should be, oftentimes. And if we're honest, if you're honest, and if I'm honest, sometimes our Christian relationship with God is non-existent. Sometimes we don't have that relationship with God. We need to get ourselves back to the ways of God. We need a word from the Lord. We need a word from the Lord that draws us back onto Him. Therefore, this morning, we need to hear a word from God. We need to hear what God is saying. And brethren and sisters, what does God say in this passage? It says, in the verse 2, at the beginning, it says, arise. And He says, go down. He's given an authority. He's given a sign of authority. He says, go down. It's a commandment of God. Go down. Arise and go down. Don't be lying in your bed in the morning. Don't be just lying. And when God's meeting is going on, when the service in the Lord's house is going on, don't just lie there. Get up and get down to the house of the Lord. He's saying here, arise and go down to the potter's house. Brethren and sisters, He says in this passage, He says, you know, brethren and sisters, I've got a word for you this morning. Yes, others may hear the word that's been proclaimed. Others around about you in this service may hear the words that are proclaimed, but it's a message right for you. I want you to hear my word. If you obey me, God says, if you do what I'm commanding you, if you arise and go down to the potter's house, and the Bible says there, at the end of the day, I will cause thee to hear my words. I will cause thee to hear my words. And there is a word from God. That is the divine wisdom of God residing in us. And that word is the message of God. And we all know what Jesus says. We all know the message of God. Christ, the eternal Redeemer. God's got a word for you. What a blessed thing it would be for a child of God. If you bear those marks of being a child of God, that you would hear God's word, and that you would have a blessing this morning, having met with God, having received the word, having been saturated with God, having saturated with that very word which God has spoken to you about, and knowing what it is to have that sustaining grace, and knowing what it is to have that communion with God, knowing what it is to have that communion. What a mark of God. having communion with God. You know, in hearing, we find God wants also to prove us. He wants to prove that we're fit for service. He doesn't just want you to, anybody just to come and do service. He wants to prove you're fit for service. And it's good to be proven. You'll find later on in the passage is how people will be proven by God. But here we find that God wants to prove us. He gives us an assignment. As he said, he gives us that command. He said, go down. Go down and hear my words. Go down and hear what I have got to say. Just step out for faith and faith for me. Step out in faith. And child of God, we should desire to hear God's word. We should desire to hear what God has to say to us. We should have belief by abiding in what God says to do, abiding by his call. He says, if you do what I do, what I ask you to do, you will hear my words. We were in the prayer meeting before the meeting. You prayed for revival. Men and women were praying and saying their amens, praying for revival. And child of God, we're not going to see revival in our own lives unless we want to hear a word from God. Unless we desire to hear a word from God. Unless we desire to be moved by God. So God wants us to hear his word. And God wants us to go down. And God says when we go down, we'll be blessed. Oh, what would it be to be in the blessings of God? Have the blessings of God upon our lives. God wants us to be blessed. That's the mark of a child of God. One that wants to hear God's word. There's also another mark. We find it here in the verse 3. A child of God wants to obey God's word. In the verse 3 it says, then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work on the ways. It says, I went down to the potter's house. The second mark is wants to obey God's word. It's an obedience to God. We think of the psalmist in Psalm 25 verses 4 and 5. It says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in the way of truth and teach me, for thou art the Lord, the God of my salvation. And in thee do I wait all the day. We need to be taught by God. We need here to obey God. God in his authority gives us a command. He compels us to do something for him. He awaits us. And here in verse 3, he finds the prophet Jeremiah. He abides in the call of God. And it says he goes down to the potter's house. Doesn't say he stopped and waited and let somebody else walk down. No, if we're looking at a blessing of God, if we're really looking at a blessing of God, then we need to go down ourselves. We need to go down ourselves. We can't let somebody else have a blessing for us. It doesn't work that way. But we need to go down. We need to go down ourselves. And Jeremiah wasn't confounded that he had heard the call of God to hear his word and to go down and he would hear what God would have to say. We find that Jeremiah desires here to be taught by God. He shook by going down to the potter's house to know more about God. He wanted to know what God had planned out for his life. He wanted to know what God would have for him. And just like us today, we need to seek God. He would teach us his ways. That we would learn something. Being directed by God. We find that when he went down, God wrought a work on his life. God wrought a work on his life. You know, sometimes we can be slack. Sometimes we do not feel like going down to the potter's house. And if you say that's not true and never had it in your life, they're near. Not telling the truth, because all of us sometimes feel, oh, I don't want to go to the prayer meeting tonight, or I don't want to go to the morning service, or the evening service is just for the unsaved. Let them go and I'll sit at home. And often, there has been many times that I say all of us have felt those things, and we thought, well, I'm a bit slack today. I don't want to have to go down. But it's those times when you and I go down to the potter's house, we and I go to those things, we receive the blessings of God. Oh, what blessings they are. But we must go down to the potter's house. And we often, after being there, We do say it's been good for us to have been there. For there truly we have met with the Lord. Oftentimes, or sometimes, whenever I'm running to a prayer meeting, even in my own home church, and you're, maybe an odd time you're late, I think, oh no, I'm late to get into the meeting, and everybody's going to see me walking up to the front and having to sit at the front by myself like I did on Thursday night past. It was a few minutes late. But it was then and received the blessing. I love the prayer meeting. I love to go to the house of God and the prayer meeting and see the people of God praying together. It's a wonderful experience to pray with the people of God and say our amens to the, alongside the people of God. Those are the times we get our blessing. And people gather together in this house this morning. God is challenging each and every one of us to obey Him. God is challenging us to go and to go down to the potter's house to hear what He has to say. Then He says, I'll go and do a work on your life. Verse 3. You know that God wants to work on our lives. God wants to move and to do something in our life. God wants to make you and I more perfect than we already are on this earth. But let me just say that anybody that says they're perfect, they're not telling the truth. You know, I often, my young boys, and they would carry on, they think they know everything. It's not true. And we like to think we are nearly perfect upon this earth sometimes, don't we? There's only one who was ever perfect, and that is Christ Jesus, the Lord, that God-man, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. But the thing of it is that God wants us, desires that He would make us more perfect than we are, as perfect as it is humanly possible to be upon this earth. The only time we'll be perfect is when we reach heaven. The Bible says we'll be like Him. Oh, what it would be to be challenged, be moved by God, to be worked upon by God, that we would be more perfected upon this earth. See, God wants to work upon us. But for us to get to that point, we need to hear a word from God. And we need to abide upon that word and obey it. Obeying Him and serving Him. Let me ask you this morning, are you obeying God? Are you serving God? Are you going on and proving through your life that you bear the marks of being a child of God? Is that something that you bear upon your own life? You're serving God. You're obeying God. You're doing a work of God. Are you still reading God's Word? Are you still praying? Have you still got that relationship with God? Or are you losing out in the blessings of God? Need a word. And we all should thank God this morning. We are gathered in a congregation where the Word of God is faithfully opened. We thank God that we can preach the Word of God with the freeness to preach as thus and thus the Lord proclaims from the Word. Thank God that we have an open house to preach. I do thank God for the colleagues that they are teaching the truths of the Scriptures. And for those that lecture upon them, pray for them. But God desires us. God desires us to obey what He has to say. We should seek God with earnestness of heart. We should seek God with the earnestness of our heart. And take a step for faith. Going. I went down to the potter's house. Going down and obeying. It's the third mark of the child of God. That is, read the verse 4 to 6 here. The third mark here is the child of God desires to know God's will. And the vessel that was made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel. As it seemed good to the potter to make it, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. We have before us then a painting of the potter's house. We have a painting where we can understand the works of God, and we can understand that God wants to do in our lives a work. We can say with the psalmist in our own hearts in Psalm 139 verses 23 and verse 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. See, the child of God should bear a mark of desiring to know the will of God. And if we abide by the Lord's command, then we're desiring that God would make His will known to us. And in blessing, we realize that we require molding. You know, we are all born in sin. We are born in sin. We are outside the ways of God. Our beings is hindered from God because of our sin. Those things that hinder us from God. And you know what the Bible says and God says? We're marred. We're not right before Him. We're outside what God will have us to be. And we need God in our lives. We need God to work upon our lives. And God desires that each one have a blessing, a cleansing. And He says then, it's good for the potter to have make it again. God delights in our salvation. God delights in us going on with God. God delights that we are cleansed. I like that verse in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, some things become new. You know that's not right and you know it. It says, behold, all things. All things become new. All things. You know, whenever we go to the potter's house, we desire then to hear God's will. We desire to know God's will. We wonder what... And sometimes we wonder what God's doing. Sometimes we wonder what God is making in our lives. We wonder what God is really doing. I want to encourage you this morning to know that God has a plan. God knows what He's doing. God knows every detail of what He's doing upon a life. God knows all these things. And as we quoted that verse in John 1 verse, or 1 John 3 verse 2 later on, we quoted again, it says, and it doth not appear what we shall be. We don't know what God's making. When we get to heaven, we know that we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. And you know, sometimes when we're going through those moving of God upon our lives, I think, well, it doesn't seem the simplest way, does it? It was like the children of Israel many times. They wanted to go this way, and God wanted them to go this way. And they said, well, look at that way. That way looks clearer, but always an obstacle came into their pathway. God knows. And God here knows each and every one of our lives. And God, whenever He's working upon our lives, He doesn't make it always the simplest way in our lives. But through trials and through testings, God will make all things well. God will work all things out. Now I like this. There's over in the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 said these words. And I just realized of late, remember Dad's been saying it many times, this is actually the words that God called him into service in. That's not why I'm using them today. I think it's something that we should look at, even through testing and trials. The Bible says in Isaiah 41 verse 2, it says, fear not thee, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He says, fear thou not. And Isaiah tells us here to fear not. We're not to be anxious when God is working upon our lives. For the potter is working on our behalf. And if so, if God's working on our behalf, then we know that God is in control. And He is patiently working out His plan for our lives. Maybe as we look at this potter just briefly, do you ever think of the clay in the potter? Maybe there's somebody better who can explain this than I can in the congregation. But you know, whenever there's a potter has received that clay, nobody got it within the potter's house, it doesn't just lift up the clay and say, okay, that'll do me and I'll work away on it. Even the scriptures say that the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. But if you look at the clay, we find that it needs some things done in it. It needs the adding of water. It has to go through to bind it together. It needs also the sifting process,
a process where all the stones and the objects within the clay that they are taken out of us. It's said that it'd be through such a sifting process that it goes through a basin with holes in it, with bigger holes, to smaller holes, and they took the smaller basins to get the smaller holes. And after that's all finished, say the potter what he does next is either gets it down on a flat piece of table or on the floor, and he stamps on it or batters it with a hammer. And he batters and works to get all the bubbles and get all the things that are unwanted out of those things. And he refines the clay. And it's only then, after all that, that he puts it on the wheel. As we said, sometimes we wonder what's going on. Sometimes we wonder what the potter is making in our lives. We have a process to go through. He wants to refine us. He wants to make us better Christians. He wants to make us people who serve Him. He wants to mold us and shape us into His plan as the potter desires. And as the potter then gets the clay on the wheel, he begins to shape us. We begin to surrender ourselves and our lives over to God. Born again believer gathered in this meeting this morning, desire to know God's will. Let Him have thy leading and directing hand. It may not be the easiest process for us to go through. And some areas may have more difficult and may need more work done in other areas. But know that God is making a vessel fit for His service. And He knows best. Then afterwards we're cast into the furnace. We're tested. And we're tried. Most of all, our pride's eliminated. Pride sometimes is the hardest thing in the work of God. When we're tested and put into the furnace, our pride's eliminated. What does God make us? Trophies of grace. Brothers and sisters, desire to know and become all that God wants us to be. There's a final mark for child of God. Briefly, verse 6, the child of God delights to be in the hand of God. And it says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. You know, there's no better place for a child of God to be than in the hands of God. Shelter, I can imagine being sheltered in all the arms of God. God's arms around about His children, sheltering away in the arms and the hands of God. And when we're in the hands of God, we find we know the power of God as He holds us, as He keeps us, as He molds us into what He feels that we should be. What a place to be in. In spite of all our sinful natures, despite of all the things that God has knowledge of, and God has many knowledge of our failures and failings. But as these children of Israel here in the scripture, you notice that God never fails. We might fail God, but God never fails. We find that instead, He places us in His hands. You know, we sang the words of Blessed Assurance earlier on this meeting. That was written by a blind woman called Fanny Crosby, and you all know that song very well. You sang it, you know it well. She was blind. I was reading the story of Fanny Crosby lately, and one thing that struck out in my mind was something that she said, and these are words, and I want to quote them. She could testify of God's hand being written about her. Says it was a blunder in the part of the physician's hands when she was a young child that she became blind. But she states also, it says, but it was no mistake in God's part. She goes on to further say, and she says these words, if it was not for her blindness, she'd have never been able to write those songs that has blessed many people. Why? Because if she had sight, she said, she would have all the distractions of the world. People in this gathering this morning, there's many distractions for young people and for old. There's many things to pull us away. Many temptations and many disguises of the world. We can say we're in God's hands. Be encouraged. We're in God's hands. And believer, you can rejoice knowing that you are in the hands of God. Therefore, you must give yourself over to God. You must obey God, being the center of His will in your lives. As the Bible says in Matthew chapter 36, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Doesn't say second, doesn't say last, but says seek ye first. You know, if we seek God, if we really listen to God, if we hear and obey His word, we desire and delight to follow God's word, then we know that in all the trials, in all the testings, and all the things, we know that in all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose, we're in God's will. Why can't you delight, folks, this morning? Because you're yielded over to God. Say, oh God, here I am. Take it all. You often think of Hannah in the scripture. She prayed for a son. After she prayed for a son and God gave her a son, she says, okay, God, over to you. So we need to do with God. Say, God, here I am. Over to you. And then He says, for as many as received Him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Maybe you're in the meeting this morning as well. Say, I don't know everybody gathered in the meeting. Yeah, I don't know what your heart's right or wrong before God. I don't know these things. You're all dressed up well, and it's good to see you gathered together, but I don't know how you live before God, but God knows. God knows how you live. Maybe you don't bear any marks of being a child of God. Maybe this morning you said, well, I've listened to being those marks of a child of God, and I cannot think of my own life, that any part of my life bears any of those marks. If that's the case, then this morning you can know what it is to have a Savior. You know what you can know what it is to begin on that road to have the marks of a child of God. I mean, so far you've wasted your life. Your life's been wasted before God. And you're going out to a lost eternity. Too long, folks, it's wasted. Why not make yourselves a worthwhile vessel for God? Think of the Apostle Paul, who was feared by many. Many feared, even when he got right before God, many feared to go near him. The Bible tells us, and when God spoke to him in Acts 9, we find the verse 15, says he was a chosen vessel. Oh, what would it be this morning for you to be a chosen vessel of God? For you to know that you are right before God, you are saved. You can have that salvation. Not by me, not by anything that I could do, but what I could do is open the Word and point you to the One who can. Believer in this morning, bear the marks of a child of God. Are you this day listening to the sweet voice of God whispering upon your ear? Are you this morning obeying God? Do you desire a leading of God upon your life? And if it is so, I trust it is. I trust it is so upon your life. You're saying we're through difficulties even as a Christian. No. But we're a work in progress. We're only a work in progress. So let's seek God. Let's seek God this morning that we be led by Him. We're a part of His sovereign plans. Let's just pray together. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege that we can come before Thee in such a fashion. We thank Thee for the Word of God. Thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art ever near to Thy children. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord, that Thou would help each one of us, Lord, to bear the marks of being a child of God. God, help us, Lord, and meet with us, Lord, and
mold us into what Thou would have for us to be. And God, we pray that as we leave this place, Lord, we pray You'll take us to our homes in safety and draw us back to the gospel evening service this evening. Lord, as we look to the Word of God, as we preach the Word, God, Thou hast placed upon our heart, Lord, we pray, Lord, You'll draw us in safety, Lord, and draw others in. Lord, help us, Lord, to draw others in as well, we pray. Continue with us, Lord, and meet with us continually. And bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.